Thank you, sweetheart. She's my wife, by the way, if some of your visitors. I know we do have a number of people that are traveling this weekend. Some of them may be joining us online. We miss you. God bless you. But thank you for being here. And as I look around, I'm just reminded of, I see people that were not part of this fellowship last year, but you're here. You've made a commitment. You're here weekly now. God bless you for that. It's going to make a difference in your life. You're certainly a blessing to all of us here at Grace House. And I just appreciate all of you being here. Holidays are busy times, but good times. I hope you've had some good times with family. And we've had a great time with our children and grandchildren. And God's good. He's good. I have a message I want to share with you today. It's a kind of a meat and potatoes practical teaching. But I believe it to be what I'm supposed to share today, and particularly in line with the different words that were coming forth. They just all seem to fit together like hands in a glove. The Lord is wanting us to get aligned for what He has planned for us going forward. That would be true any and every year, but I sense that for this year. You know, we've recently shared some of the prophetic words that Chuck Pierce had about our state and our city, and I believe we're being invited to be a part of that. And God's wanting to do something real significant in all of our lives. He's wanting to bless you this year. You can't out-bless Him. You just can't. The title of today's message is called Missing Pieces. Missing Pieces. Some of our some of our grandchildren have, all of them are young compared to us, but some of them have gotten into putting puzzles together, and particularly 500-piece puzzles. And if you've ever put puzzles together, it can be exasperating, it can be exhilarating. But one thing you don't want to happen is when you get through and the box is empty, you look and there's missing pieces of the puzzle. It's like, oh no, it's not finished, it's not complete. You know, all this work, all this effort, you can almost see what it's all supposed to look like, but we need that extra piece or those missing pieces to be able to snap them in place. Well, in reality, our life is kind of like a puzzle, and God's plan for our life is like a puzzle. And across time, the days, months, weeks, years, so forth, God snaps pieces of His plan into our lives. And the truth is, sometimes He will use someone else to snap that missing piece into your life. And the truth is, sometimes He may use you to help snap that missing piece into another person's life. This will make sense as we move through this morning, but I just want you to realize that God is about bringing things into agreement, into alignment, snapping things into place. I remember years ago hearing Dutch Sheets talk about that Greek word kartarismo that you find in the Bible, and also its Hebrew equivalent. It simply, it's used by physicians to like set a bone in place, to align a bone, to snap it into place. That God does that at times. He, in His movements and His motions and His workings in our life, He will snap things into place. And really when it's happening, you may not be realizing what God's doing or what's about to happen. But once that snapped into place, then it's that aha moment, that missing piece is put in there, and you get clarity about what God's doing and what you're supposed to do. And so I believe 2025 is going to be a year where we see the Lord snapping things into place, aligning things in our lives. What I want to do this morning is to take some verses out of Proverbs chapter 16. Not going to read the whole chapter, but there are a number of those verses that kind of correlate with each other. What I want you to notice as I read the verses I'm about to put on the screen is that a lot of these verses, they have a part of the verse that has a human component, what a man or a woman may do or plan to do, and it has a divine component. Like when we're doing what we're supposed to do, because it's all about wisdom, Proverbs is, and particularly chapter 16, it's about the person receiving the wisdom and applying the wisdom and walking in that wisdom. What we see is there is a divine component to these scriptures where God does his thing. And sometimes, you know, we know what we're thinking, but we don't always know what God's thinking. We know what we're about to do, but we're not always sure what God's about to do. But what we see in this, we're invited to live a life where as best we can apply God's word, his truth, his wisdom, his scriptures, and we're taking our steps of faith and obedience and just doing the stuff God created us to do, that God will be at work doing what we can't do. Let's look at some of these verses. We'll begin with verse 1 in Proverbs 16. The preparations, and by the way, that Hebrew word can also be translated plans. The preparations, the plans of the heart belong to man. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Well, we know the scripture teaches that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, okay? So this verse tells us that we can plan. You know, we can meditate, we can about this, but if we'll use God's wisdom, somewhere between our heart and our mouth, the right thing comes out. When God's involved, that means more than that, but I think it also means that. Verse 2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but see, we don't have the final say. The rest of the verse says, but, conjunction of contrast, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Isn't that something? All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes. Isn't it something, the ways, you know, the way we use our life, live our life, the lifestyle we live and so forth, the way we do things, the way we think, the way we articulate. We have our own opinions about that. But the Lord weighs the spirits. Life is much more spiritual than we realize. Even those of us that are all about wanting to live life in the spirit, it's still more spiritual than we realize. God is spirit. And there's so much more to him that we don't fully know or understand. He weighs the spirits. And so part of what I want to encourage us to do today is to be people who live by the Spirit. The Lord weighs the spirits. He discerns the spirits, weighs the spirits. He knows what spirit's motivating us. Sometimes we don't. So we have to lean into him and rely upon his help. Verse 3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Now I'd love to tear out preaching on this verse because look what it says. You want your thoughts to be established? You ever have trouble with your thoughts moving hither and yon and not being indecisive and not knowing what you ought to do? And this says, if you'll commit your works to the Lord, his part is, he will begin to move and work in your life to help establish your thoughts, to get your mind set the way it ought to be set so that you're thinking the way you ought to think, so that his wisdom now is applied to how you're processing thought, how you're making decisions. This is a powerful verse. If you commit your works to the Lord, have you done that lately? No matter what it is that you do, have you just said, Lord, I'm committing this to you? That'd be a good thing to start the day with, Lord. About to go to work. I'm committing everything I do today to you. And I thank you that you're going to establish my thoughts. You're going to help me see things that I otherwise would not be able to see. You're going to help me to know things that I otherwise would not know. Because I am committing this day, these works to you, my thoughts will be established. Good stuff there. Verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Wow, that's a potent scripture too. This tells me that if I can make sure that the way I'm doing things are pleasing to the Lord, the folks opposing me or coming against me, the Lord will be at work to take care of that. If God be for you, Mm-hmm. Verse 9, now this is a scripture that got me started on this message. Then I went back before and following it and found these other scriptures that related to it. But he says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's not wrong to plan, particularly using wisdom principles. It's a good thing to plan in a godly way. And when you do that, you can have the assurance that, well, probably a couple of things. It's not going to always unfold like you think it will. But you have the assurance that God will direct your steps. God will be involved in ordering your life. The Bible says this, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. That's another verse that tells us that God is involved in our daily living. He's involved in how we live our life. He wants to be involved more as we submit and obey and do our best to try to follow his wisdom principles. He directs our steps. And that's just amazing. Look at this one, verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. This is a cautionary scripture. It may look right, smell right, seem right, and be totally wrong. How do you know the difference? The Lord. The discernment of the Lord. And sometimes just knowing the Word will give you that the marker that you need to know. Now, this is not right. I don't have peace. The Word says I'm to pursue peace. And as I'm moving toward this, I don't have peace about it. I don't even have to know why I don't have peace. I don't even have to know what's wrong with it. There may not even be anything wrong with it, generally speaking. It's just the wrong thing for me. So if I'm to pursue peace and I don't have peace, then it may seem right, but I need to realize it's not going to end well for me. So these are just principles. Now I'm going to leave you with one that's provocative, and you can chew on it. I would like you to listen the rest of the message, but this is one that will get you mind whizzing. It's verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean buy a bus ticket to Tunica. But it is the word of the Lord. And we do have a scriptural precedent and example of when it's actually used. I don't think it's something that you, like, you flip a coin to decide everything. It's not saying that. But there are times, listen to me, in the scripture, let's just talk about how the scripture used this. When Judas went out and hung himself, they felt led of the Lord because of a prophetic word, let another take his place. They had a prophetic word. So they stepped into that prophetic word and they wanted to obey it. And they had to find a replacement to Judas, who was the disciple who betrayed the Lord and hung himself. They ended up with two guys. And it was one of those kind of decisions, like both of them, good men. Both of them had been with Jesus since his ministry started. Good guys, both of them qualified, like heads or tails, which one? Lord, we don't know that either one of these would be great. I think it's that kind of decision. And so they decided, we will cast lots. And they did, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he became the disciple. In that instance, they had faith that they are using their wisdom the best they can to come to that place, and they still have a choice to make between two. And so they basically said, Lord, we're going to let you make this one, and they cast the lot. Well, I don't know. Well, maybe they use this very scripture. That there are times, and I'm not saying start using this every day. But what I do want you to see about this scripture, God can work in ways that don't make sense to us. God will even use people that you would never use to snap that piece of puzzle in place in your life. He's done that for me more than once. So What I'm wanting you to see here is the unseen hand of God works powerfully and mightily in the lives of His children. And we need to be aware of that. And that leads me to the part of the message where I'm going to give you five words to ponder. Five different words. I'm going to talk a little bit around each of these words. And it's all about trying to open our heart more fully to live life in the Spirit and make sure that our presuppositions, our way of planning, our way of doing things does not interfere with the Lord, what the Lord wants to do in us. Okay? The first word is simply the word availability. You've got to be available to the Lord for Him to use you the way He wants to. Now, that doesn't mean that God sometimes won't use people that don't give a rip about what He thinks. The Bible's got a lot of examples of that. But what I'm saying is, if you want to get in on the blessing and you want God's plan for you, you need to be available to it. And a lot of times, it's just too easy for us by default to draw this conclusion. Well, that doesn't make sense to me, so it can't be God. As if God, you are required. If you are going to do anything for me, in me, or through me, then it's going to have to be something that I can understand and make sense. Because I'm just not going to go with that stuff that doesn't make sense. What a boring life you're going to live. It requires faith. You've got to trust God. You've got to be available to what He wants to do through you. When Mickey and I were first married, neither of us had an inkling that we would be in ministry. But after we were married a year, we moved up to her part of the country, up close to Addison, Alabama. And I started attending the church she grew up in and started growing in the Lord. And we taught a Sunday school class. We were over the youth for a while. We go to church and work, did all kinds of things. You go out on visitation. But there were still some things in my life that were just, and just have to be honest, were priority over being at church and being involved in the things of the Lord. I knew something was missing in my life. And this went on for a couple of years or so. Going to church, and we're doing a pretty good job, but yet just something was missing. And I went through a season of just being sick in my stomach a lot and just miserable, and it's just like pressure was on me. And you know when it changed? On a Sunday night in the spring of 1983, and I'd been wrestling with the Lord, I made my way up to that altar in front of that church during the invitation. When I went down on my knees, I was going down on my knees to surrender myself to the Lord. I knew I was saved. I knew I loved Jesus. But I also knew something wasn't lined up right in my life. And so I went down on my knees, and I said, Lord, I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of being miserable. Not that we weren't happy, but just something was missing. I said, I'm just tired. Whatever you want, I'll go. Go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'm just giving you my life. Here's Eddie Lawrence. You do with him what you want. And in a moment, I knew I had been called to preach, to minister. Now, we're all ministers, but I knew that this was a life-changing thing for me. I went down one man and stood up with a man who had a purpose. I knew what I was supposed to do in my life. Now, I can say now I didn't have a clue what all that was going to mean. I just knew I was going to be a minister. And it brought clarity to me. You see, a lot of times what we want to do is, Lord, just sit down right here. I need to have a talk with you. Now, if you can tell me what you're up to and what it is you want me to do, that'll give me something to pray through and think about, you know, if I want to do it or not. We want all the information before we sign up. But that's not No, no, no. That is not how it works. Here's the way it works. Lord, you are Lord. And I can't figure this thing called life out. But I know you're my Lord, and I know you've got a plan for me. Whatever it is, I'm going to sign my name right here, and here, you fill it out. You can let me know. And he will let you know, and it's pretty much piece by piece, he's going to snap the pieces of those puzzles in there. But the first step is one of surrender, availability. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Lord, it's hard to kick against the pricks. That's what Saul said. You know, it's almost like, leave me alone. Every time you do, it's just more painful. Have your way, Lord. And there may be some of you this morning that you're in that struggle and you're dealing with some of that misery. It is a miserable place to be. Knowing there's peace available and you don't have fullness of it. Knowing there's a plan, but you can't figure it out. God loves you so much more than you ever dreamed He could. And His plan is so much better for you than you ever dreamed it could be. And God's will is what we would all will if we had sense enough to know what to will. Availability. The next thing is flexibility. Flexibility. You've got the man part and you've got the God part. I am the Lord your God and I change not. He's immutable. So, when you decide you want to have one of these standoff sessions with the Lord, you might want to remember He never changes. He can out-stubborn you. You have to be flexible. He loves you so much, He will drop kick you into a huge vat of discomfort in order to get you to change. Say Gumby. God wants you to be like Gumby or like Stretch on Fantastic Four. He's going to stretch you. There's going to be discomfort. You're not going to like some of the stuff that He likes for you until you see the results of doing it His way. He's not like sometimes our mamas and sometimes we daddies can be, where we capitulate because we don't want our children to have any discomfort. The reason parents have to create discomfort in the life of their children is because the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The moderate discomfort that parenting involves, that they bring into a life of a child, is small compared to the discomfort that the transgression will bring if they don't learn how to live a disciplined life, if they don't learn how to submit to authority, if they don't learn that the world doesn't revolve around them. Now, I don't want to make any mamas mad out there. But this is the truth. Because Father is a perfect parent, and He allows us to be placed into uncomfortable situations so that we can change and we'll adjust to and change to become who we need to be to do what He created us to do. See, He has a plan. He knows what you need to be trained to do, just like people who are in the military. They don't just throw darts and decide, well, let's train them to do this. No, they have a reason why they want you to learn to instantly obey and not question orders. Because when the bullets are flying and they say, duck, you don't say, why you want me to duck? No, you learn to duck when the bullets are flying, it saves your life. Flexibility. We have to be flexible if for the things to snap and align in place for the puzzle of our life to be fulfilled. And in order for us to be people God can use to help other people, we have to be flexible. Again, parenting teaches you that. Before you have children, well, it actually starts before you're married. You go where you want to go. You do what you want to do. You eat what you want to eat. Go to bed when you want to go to bed. Get up when you want to. All that stuff. When you get married, you've become more flexible. And then when you get pretty good at living life in tandem, two of you, you know, then y'all go to bed, pretty much get up, y'all, you got your routines, and then mama comes along with the baby. And once you start having children, you just thought you learned about being flexible when you got married. Now it is game on, right? I mean, your whole life is ordered around taking care of this little guy or little girl and changing diapers, bottles, and you're loving it. I'm not saying you love that part, but you love that child and you do that part as an act of love. Father, he's the perfect parent. He's so patient. He's so merciful to us. But just like we want our children to grow up and mature and become adults, he's training and working in our life. And so we have to be flexible and to learn to align and adjust and get in agreement with him. Father knows best. Being flexible. So being available and being flexible, those are important things. And that brings me to the third one, vulnerability. Not just availability and flexibility, but vulnerability. To be vulnerable. That word vulnerable in English, it's got the Latin root that means to wound. Vulnerability speaks of being in a situation where there could be danger or an attack or some type of harm that could come. You're vulnerable. But it also has the idea of someone who's vulnerable is they're willing to take the risk of being hurt in order to let you know who they really are. This one's really important. We all know the adage, hurt people, wounded people, wound people, healed people, heal people. So when you think about this analogy of a puzzle, the big part of God's plan is for us to become whole, to make us whole, and for us to mature where we can help others to become whole. If you've been around long, you've been wounded. If you've been around long, you've been hurt. If you've been around very long, you've probably hurt somebody, you've probably wounded somebody. We're all from that same cut of cloth, you see. But vulnerability, I'm having trouble saying that word, it's important because what we tend to do when we're hurt is we build walls. You get in that proverbial shell like the turtle. And it's just us in our shell behind our walls. And if we don't become whole and get healed, then we're not willing to risk revealing who we are to someone else, who we really are. You end up living a life of pretend. Well, I really can't say what I really think. Or I really don't feel free to be who I really am. Now, don't take that to an extreme. Because we're not to say everything we think, and we're not to do everything we might have an impulse to do. But we'd certainly be more free than we probably are. And that requires being vulnerable. And so we have to deal with our wounds and our hurts, our heartaches and our pains. That came up several times in these words that came forth this morning about 2024 and being a painful year for people. You know, maybe you've lost loved ones. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe you've had a season of sickness, or you had some major surgeries, or you've experienced a financial collapse, or betrayed by a friend, lost a job. The list can grow of sources of pain, being wounded, being hurt. Perhaps you've gone through some type of abuse this past year. The goal is to be healed from that, to be made whole, and to be vulnerable. To be vulnerable means it means that you're willing to take a risk. If you're going to love well, you better learn to be a risk taker. And I'm not saying sign up to be beaten or abused. Don't interpret anything I say to mean that. But what I am saying is, if you've gone through some hurt, don't make everybody else that you meet from now on pay for what somebody else did. Don't allow that marriage that failed to keep you from having one that might succeed. God is a healer. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus began his public ministry, he unrolled the scroll of Isaiah and stopped in chapter 61. They didn't have chapters back then, but he read at the place where he declared over himself, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Listen to this. To heal the brokenhearted. That word broken, the Greek word used there in Luke 4, the southern version is smash to smithereens. It literally means shattered to pieces. And Jesus declared that his ministry focused on healing people whose hearts had been shattered. He can take those pieces and put them back together and make you whole again. And let me encourage you, if you've been deeply hurt, or this has been a very painful year, and maybe you've been tempted to throw in the towel, give up, as you were encouraged not to this morning. Let me encourage you with this. Some of the most powerful anointings that you'll ever be around are operating in people who were deeply hurt, severely wounded, crashed big time, but whom God healed and made whole. Because it's not just something we know is true because of what we've seen happen in others. You know it's true because it's happened to you. There's an empathy there. There's a compassion there. And there's an anointing on that place where the devil tried to take you out. With God's grace, it can become a monument to the glory of God. And a strong anointing can operate in your life in the area where the enemy tried to kill you, tried to take you out, tried to ruin you, spoil you. That deep-seated, hate-filled anger that had such a hold of you, when the grace of God comes and you allow Jesus to cleanse you as you repent and He forgives you and cleanses you, that area is now transformed. And there's such this embracing love that can forgive, that can see past the act, the hurt, and see the person and the need. Hurt people hurt people, and a lot of the hurt people of hurt people were hurt by hurt people who've been hurt by people. It's just a repeated cycle. And so with the power of the cross, you come in, you lay that down as a standard, and it stops there. And then you can love again. You can trust again. You can live again. You can be vulnerable again because you know the one who can heal. And you know how deeply desperate people need that healing. Vulnerability. The fourth word is teachability. On your list of things that like to really grow, I think, in the Lord and to be successful in the Lord, so to speak, to me, teachability is up there close to the top. You see, humility and teachability are almost inseparable. Because to have a teachable spirit means that you and I recognize there's something we need to learn, which means there's something we don't know. And our pride and our ego can get in the way of that. Doesn't want to make room for that. But pray that we all go to our grave learning so that you're teachable. There's so much we don't know. You don't know what you don't know. The only way you can know and learn what you don't know is by acknowledging there's things you don't know and be willing to be taught. You know? I look around the room and there's all kinds of knowledge that is foreign to me. I mean, just you've got people in here that are accountants and they're good with numbers and bookkeeping and all that stuff and can dive in the minutiae and the details and get excited about it. I don't know what that feels like. But it's easy peasy for some of you. It really is. I look at Hugh there. He's a process engineer. He's good at analyzing systems and efficiency and all that stuff. And he cranks his tractor. He knows stuff that I don't know. Now look at Pam there. Oversaw big military construction projects with, I can't imagine what that bureaucracy is like, but she swam in those waters and obviously was really good at it. I don't know how to do that. Larry and my wife, they're counselors. And they've got all this knowledge about the human psyche. I know I got one of those. But there's a field of knowledge there. And around the room, you can just multiply that over and over. We're all a lot dumber than we realize. I mean, isn't that the truth? And I'll remind you of a story I've reminded you of several times because it so impacted me when I was in high school and I went to the principal's office and I had a heated discussion, but the fire was just coming from his side of the desk. And then when I left, that fire was on my rear end. And he had a sign over his door that says, "It's what you learn after you know it all that counts." Now I went in not knowing that I didn't know some stuff. But I left understanding what that sign meant. We have to be teachable. And when we're teachable, that means we can adjust, we're flexible, we're teachable. God can set us up to snap things in place in other people's lives. I love to learn. But all of us are, I love the old country preacher. One time he said, "I just keep getting ignoranter and ignoranter." I know what he means. The more you learn about who God is, the less you realize you really know in the big scheme of things. I mean, what a blessing to be able to go out and get in your car and find your way back home. Teachability. And here's the thing. Sometimes you can change a person's life in a few moments, not even realize it. I had a lady come up to me sometime back, and she said, "Brother Eddie, you probably don't remember me, and I'm sure you don't remember what you told me." And she proceeded to tell me the story. Said, "I came up for some ministry one time and you prayed for me. She said, I think she, if I remember right, she said she was like in her mid-40s. And she had just really had a desire to go back to college and like become a nurse. And everybody was telling her, you're in your mid-40s. You've waited too late. Just too late in life to go. You got to go back all the way back to college. You haven't been to college. You got to start. And she said, I was just so discouraged. And you asked me, well, you feel like that's what the Lord's put in your heart? And I said, yes, it is. And you told me, well, quit listening to what everybody else says and do what God says. You know, if he's leading you to do it, he'll give you the grace to do it and it'll be fine. She said, for some reason, that just set me free. She said, I went and enrolled in school. And she said, now I'm a nurse and I've loved what I do, helping people. I didn't even remember that. And it probably took, what, 60 seconds? But it changed her life. You don't know how God will use you, and you'll be snapping something into place for somebody and you're not aware of it. Because you have plans in your heart, but the Lord directs your steps. And that's the way we live our life. Some of you don't know the difference you've made in so many people's life and won't know till you get to heaven. Your works will follow you. I think that'll be part of what happens. I don't know. But your life matters. And you leave a bigger footprint than you think you do, particularly when you choose to live your life being led by the Lord, being teachable. And young people, listen to me. Wow, in the age we're living in, you know, get in the book of Proverbs and feed on those Proverbs and get wisdom and follow the Lord and learn to hear the voice of the Lord and follow the Holy Spirit and get under the spout where the glory comes out. Our students, those of you that are going to Winter Ramp, we speak blessings over you and over Kayla and Casey and those that are going with you, that you'll have an awesome trip and the Holy Spirit would just make deposits in you. And I pray that God would snap some of the pieces together for you, because you're the time in your life when you're deciding what your life course is going to be. What you're going to do, what you're going to give yourself to. I pray that God would be speaking to you and moving you. And again, he doesn't call everybody to be a preacher like he's called me. But whatever he calls you to do, he graces you to do that. And as you make your plans and step into that, he will direct your steps and he'll use you and he'll snap things in place for you and he'll use you to snap things in place for other people. That's the way God moves and he works. Some of you may be a brain surgeon. Somebody may be a backhoe operator or a truck driver or a school teacher or a chef or a hundred thousand other things. It doesn't matter. Whatever God's put in your heart to pursue that. He'll grace you to do that. He'll bless you and you'll make a difference in the kingdom. Be teachable. Be flexible. Be vulnerable. Be available. And the last thing is to be responsible. To be responsible. Have the ability to respond properly. You tell somebody you're going to do something, do it. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it with a spirit of excellence. And the Lord will grace you. And the Lord will help you. And he will partner with you. And he will use you. Responsibility. Responsibility and accountability are very closely aligned. You're responsible to the Lord. And you're accountable to the Lord because you're here because of him. He made you. You were his idea. You were God's idea. He made you. He has a blueprint and a plan for your life. And you're responsible and accountable to him for that. But as you partner with him and try to do it his way, yes, sir, reporting for duty, I'm available. Okay, Lord, don't like this, but I'm going to go with it. This is what you're doing. And yes, Lord, keep my heart pliable. I want to be an open book. I want to be transparent. I want to be vulnerable. Lord, teach me. I want to be like a little bird in the nest. I want to be teachable. Be responsible. I want to close with a story, a personal story. that's meaningful to me. It may seem like a small thing. But when I shared the first part of this story a few years back, but when I was about 5 years old, I got in a truck with my dad one day. He would take me to town occasionally, Winfield, Alabama. That was town. I think they had 2,000, 3,000 people, so maybe 4,000. And I think they had about 2,000 people in Winfield in those days. But he had to stop at the Napa Auto Parts store. And I'd been in there several times with him across my few brief years. And they had a little knife case in there on top of the counter. And it had all these case knives in it. And I would tiptoe up and I would look at those pocket knives. And there was a little yellow-handled pocket knife. I remember just looking at that. Boy, I love to have that little pocket knife. Man, every little boy needs a pocket knife. And I'd look at that knife. Well, on this particular occasion, I guess Dad had watched me gawk at those knives enough. And he had a little extra money, I guess. He bought me that yellow-handled little case pocket knife. Oh, I grabbed my little chubby fist around that thing. That was my treasure. I was so happy. He gave me the talk about not opening a blade till he taught me how to use it. I don't know if it's wise to give a five-year-old pocket knife, but I got me one. Probably wasn't wise to let me ride on the tailgate of the truck, but I got to do that too, like a lot of you my age did. But I was holding that little yellow-handled knife, and I was so happy. Well, my precious day wasn't over yet. On the way home, Dad pulled into this little cafe out in the country. You drive up, and you go up, and you order from the window outside. He bought me a chocolate milkshake and a hot dog, ketchup and onions only. That's the way I still eat my hot dogs. And I had me a chocolate milkshake, a hot dog with ketchup and onions, and a yellow-handled case pocket knife. I mean, I was strutting my little five-year-old self. So happy. Man, I was ingesting that milkshake. I was eating that hot dog. About a mile before we got to the house, it was an eight-mile drive from Winfield to where we lived outside of Briet. I lived in Pooltite, which was north of Pea Ridge, and I mean north, south of Pea Ridge and north of Doodlin, not too far from Yappertown. I know y'all wanted to know exactly where it was. It was about a mile from there, and I finished my hot dog. So the wrapper on the hot dog, now this is just, don't do this, but this is the way it was done back then before they did the litter bug campaign in the 60s. What did you do? You rolled down your window, and you tossed the paper out. That's the reason the roads were covered with trash. Everybody did it. I wasn't flying solo doing that. So I had my little pocket knife, and I took that, you know it's coming, don't you? Took that hot dog wrapper, rolled down my window, and I tossed it. Well, when I tossed it, my little chubby fingers didn't hold on. These two didn't. I let go, and there went the wrapper, and there went my little yellow-handled case knife into a huge kudzu patch, that steep ravine covered with kudzu. Daddy, and I'm crying, I'm squalling, I'm bawling, I'm snotting. I mean, I was really upset. This was my treasure. And I hadn't even had it 30 minutes yet. And now I've thrown it away, you know, recklessly, carelessly. I'm crying, I'm upset. He finds a place to turn around. We go back up the road again. He and I walked up and down that hill in that kudzu, and we never found my little yellow-handed. And Daddy taught me a lesson about, you know, doing things properly. But I was just so upset. It just broke my heart. You can probably tell I still remember it. Well, I shared that a few years back. And not long after I shared it, Andrew came over. And he had a little gift wrapped. You might zoom in on this. This is the adult version of that little yellow-handled pocket knife. He had inscribed on it, "Washed in the blood." It had been 60 years since my little chubby fingers had tossed my knife out the window. But 60 years later, the Lord worked through my son to restore what Dad had lost. 60 years. For me, it was one of those, just a little, one of those little moments where God snapped something. A missing piece. A piece of my heart. It may not be a big deal to you, but you offer me $1 million for this knife and you see whether or not I take it. I don't think I would. And this knife had the washed in the blood on it, which even the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, it wasn't a sin that that happened. That was just human error. But how many heartaches are in here because of human error? We all know what heartaches is just from outright sinning. But sometimes from no intention, no conscious choice, you've been hurt by you or someone. I'm telling you that the Lord can snap the missing pieces back into place. And sometimes, if we'll try to take, let the Lord order our steps and take the right steps and grow, then our children that we raise up, God can even use them to help bring restoration to us. We're able to see in them things that we didn't see in ourselves. Most of us parents have the, well, I know I did this. I hope my child never does that. I hope they never make that mistake. I know I had to go through this. I hope they're never subjected to that. I think that's a good place in the heart for you want it better for your children than you had it for you. But having said that, parents, we still need to keep these words in mind when we're raising them. Teach them about being available, surrendering, being flexible, handling discomfort but changing because it's what's best, being vulnerable, don't hang on to your wounds and hurts, learn to be healed, get whole, be teachable, don't have so many smarts, you're not learning anymore, and be responsible. And if we can walk this out in our lives before the Lord, we'll get in on some of that snapping into place activity of the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing what God can do and what God will do with just our willingness. I want you to stand with me this morning. Our worship team is coming. Our prayer team members are coming. There's been a lot going on in this service today. And I believe each facet the Lord is trying to speak to people, maybe to different people. Even in the message, there may be just a singular statement that kind of touched you deeply in some way. And what I want to ask you to do right now is to respond to where the Lord may be touching you or nudging you, wooing you. There is a mystery to how God moves. God is spirit. So these are not always things we see with our physical eyes and hear with our physical ears. But in our spirit man, we sense God speaking, moving. And I encourage you to align. If you need someone to pray with you about something you're facing or some need you have, these people up here will love on you. They will pray for you. And I believe God will hear and answer those prayers. We're going to worship for a moment, then I'll formally release you. But just come. Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, we're grateful for how you've been so faithful this past year. And yet most of us would have to acknowledge we've missed opportunities to be in on what you're doing, and we've refused opportunities when you've wanted to do certain things in us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your patience. Lord, we want to do better in 2025. Help us to agree with you, to choose to align with you, to take our fill of the good word of the Lord, to be led by your Holy Spirit. Lord, snap things into order in our lives, and may we be a people that you can work through to help others have those missing pieces snapped into place. You can step out from where you are right now and just make your way forward. Someone will be here to pray with you. We're going to begin to sing now. We invite you to come. This is a sweet, sacred time for people to respond to what the Lord's speaking to you. We believe there's an anointing here to minister. Would you come? Make that our prayer.
You bring restoration. You bring restoration.
Are there others? Make your way forward. Like there's someone here, I'm just kind of hearing this in my spirit, someone here that it's just like you have been being intimidated by another person. I won't get any more specific than that, but the Lord is, I believe, would encourage you to find your voice this morning, that he'll give you grace to say what needs to be said in the way it needs to be said. But don't allow the enemy to shut you down, because there's a fearlessness and a courage in you by the Holy Spirit that you need. And there's just some things that you're putting up with that you don't have to put up with. And I mean that with kindness. And I encourage, and I'm not necessarily asking you to come forward, but I am asking you to take this to heart if that's you. Because it's really important for your benefit and the benefit of your family. Are there others who need to come? One more time.
Bring
never given your life to Christ, we invite you to come. The Lord's leading you to become a part of this fellowship, we invite you to come. Whatever need you may have. Now before we pray the closing prayer, this altar will remain open. I also want to encourage you that if you don't have a routine in the morning of connecting with the Lord, find a way to do that. I personally do a devotional each morning. I put it on Facebook and on TikTok if you have those platforms. And you can find it on our Grace House TikTok page or on my personal Facebook page. But I seek the Lord and share a little brief devotional every morning. And I pray that you would ask the Lord to continue to use that. I'm doing that because almost a year ago, the Lord told me to start doing this. I'm not doing it to try to grow a channel. I'm doing it because the Lord told me to. But I am getting good response from people. I want you to ask the Lord to bless it. And you need that in your life from someone. May the Lord bless you. May His grace be strong upon your life. May His peace guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. May His Holy Spirit fill you to overflowing, and may you be led by His Holy Spirit. May the angels of the Lord encamp around about you. May you be protected from any danger or harm. May no plague come near your dwelling. May you be prospered and blessed. Now, in the name of our risen Savior, our Lord Jesus, go forth, be a witness for Him, and change the world. The world needs it. Amen. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. This altar area remains open for you to receive ministry. Thank you for being here today.